No, I'm not a typical candidate by any means. I've never had any political aspirations, but I can't sit on the sidelines anymore as a spectator. Our founding fathers never meant for politics to be the futile profession of a few. They intended a representative form of government, right? A citizen-based legislature where farmers and blacksmiths and tradespeople and soldiers would leave their home and businesses for a short period of time, come to the nation's new capital, address the problems of the nation, develop creative solutions, and implement them cooperatively and collaboratively. But I think what we see now, our current legislature does not reflect nor act in the way our nation's founders intended. Congress has maintained an abysmal approval rating, and depending upon what data you look at, anywhere from 15 down to 9%, yet in the last election, 85% of incumbents were elected for another term, and Washington has become the purview of a few Beltway insiders. And missing are people with practical, proven leadership. Missing are veterans and farmers and healthcare providers and ranchers and not-for-profit leaders who have this whole diversity of perspective, who have practical, grounded experience in finding real long-term solutions to problems. And that's what I believe I bring. I've been a leader in the corporate sector, leading a multi-million-dollar global logistics business and having to build that from the ground up. I've worked on healthcare issues as a not-for-profit leader, developing and strengthening a clinic for people who don't have insurance. I've been a coach of high school girls volleyball and concerned about who my young athletes look up to as role models. And in the military, as an officer, we're focused on mission. That's what matters, not your background, not where you come from, not your orientation, but can you get the job done, which is what our government needs. It needs people who have operated in unchanging and ambiguous situations.
What are some of the key issues you see in Utah that need to be reformed?
We have obviously jobs in the economy, K-12 education, health care, protection of access to our public lands. For example, let's take Hill Air Force Base, right? Hill is one of the top three employers in this state. Not only is it critical to our state economy, it's critical to our national security. Department of Defense is reducing its budget. It's affecting programs across the spectrum of services. And the Air Force is extending the life of its aircraft in lieu of acquiring new. And as only one of three maintenance depots across the country, Hill has a direct impact on our national security. You know, you've got the 25,000 plus people who work directly at Hill, but then you also have the secondary and tertiary businesses that grow from the businesses Hill. So it's critical to our economy.
What are your plans to keep it as is or improve it?
Utah needs to continue to emphasize the skills of its workforce. We have numerous state colleges and applied schools who are constantly updating and developing new curriculum to ensure that Hill has a pipeline of skilled and committed workers. So we need to continue to do that. We need to work across the aisles to make sure we're investing the resources needed to continue to strengthen Hill, not only for our state, but for our national security around the world, right? At any one time, we're operating in 30-plus countries, and is the military properly configured around the world to respond to the kinds of challenges we see and are predicting over the next 10 to 15 to 20 years?
And going off of improving the different sectors of Utah, obviously higher education and K through 12 has really been suffering the past few years. What's your hopes or plans for that?
I think you're exactly right, Stuart. We need to be building a pipeline in our K-12 education so so that our children can go to these universities and get in and compete and do well at these universities. We see across the state, Utah, regardless of how you cut the numbers, ranks 55th in terms of educational funding at the K through 12 level. Now, last time I checked, there were only 50 states in the nation. Utah is below Puerto Rico, the District of Columbia, Guam, and the Mariana Islands. And we need to look at different ways to fund our education. We also need to look at how technology can be used in education. A number of different educators throughout the state have determined that in the next 10 years, two-thirds of Utah jobs are going to come from STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math fields. So we need to make sure we're investing in our young people that they have the opportunity to acquire the skills and technical certifications needed.
That being said, how did your personal experiences from your education and time in the military, how did that shape you, you think, to work on these issues?
I've been fortunate in that I've had a great education at the United States Military Academy at West Point and at the Darden Business School at the University of Virginia, both public schools. You know, education is something that once you get it, nobody can take it away from you. And it's not just the degree you get, it's the skills you learn in terms of thinking. We see, particularly in the STEM fields, as you know, there's huge initiatives going on nationally and within the state to keep young people, particularly girls, interested in science, technology, engineering, and math. Yet most of the data shows by fifth grade, young people are pushed out, and particularly girls, out of those fields. Yet those are the fields that lead to higher paying jobs.
And I think of it also in the lawmaking process. It's kind of a perspective that's being left out. There, I'm sure, as you've noticed, are very few women politicians at the state and national levels in Utah. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's interesting. Our neighboring state, Colorado, leads the nation with 41% of its 800-seat legislature comprised of women. Utah's state legislature has only 18 women elected to its 104 seats. And nationally, it ranks near the bottom at 43rd with 17%. And that's an anomaly of Western states that Utah's bucking this trend of female leadership in the political process. At national elected office, women hold only 70 of the 435 seats in the U.S. Congress. That's slightly more than 16%. Women represent 52% of the population, yet less than 16 and 17% respectively at elected federal office. And these are numbers we need to change. There are multiple studies on women bring different perspectives and different styles of leadership and problem solving. And the perspectives women bring are different. I mean, think about this. At the community level, think of parent-teacher organizations, church and civic groups. Overwhelmingly, they're led by women. I think with the welfare of most of our communities in the hands of women, why not considering putting the welfare of our state and our country in the hands of more women? We also don't run because we don't think it's a necessity. We see people like Hillary and others out there thinking, oh, there are plenty of women running. But they're not. For all the women out there, think about the issues that are important to your neighbors, your school district, your community, and your country. And yeah, it's easier to leave politics to somebody else. But if you don't run, who will?
What made you decide that I can do this?
We cannot have inactive spectators. When I was 17, I made a decision to serve my country and to pursue admission to West Point and become an officer. And that's because I believe in the country, I believe in the freedoms we hold, and I believe in the democracy. My military background, my experiences in business, and more importantly, my experiences in coaching and seeing the importance of role models, not only to young women, but to young men, has said to me, I can't sit on the sidelines. I've actually never sat on the sidelines about anything. It is part of our civic responsibility. Another piece that's very important to me is how we employ our military. Congress is the only body that can authorize the use of military and declare war. And the last time our Congress declared war was World War II. We've now been operating for, 11, 12 years under these resolutions of conflict. And we have three tools of national policy and national security: economic means, diplomatic tools, and military force. And I truly believe if we had more veterans in elected office, we would exhaust our economic tools and our diplomatic means before we ever sent our military.
I have one last burning question. It's one of the things that really interests me that you're running on is this issue of public lands. It seems the popular belief by many of the lawmakers in our state that they shouldn't be public. So why are you taking on that issue, and what do you plan to try and do about it?
Well, as you know, I mean, our lawmakers at the state level have spent almost $3 million passing a bill to sue the federal government, take back the public land in this state. And their position is that those lands could be sold and education could be funded. But this is an important issue to every citizen in Utah. The land determines the character, our economy, our lifestyle, and our heritage here. But part and parcel, it's every citizen's land, and they need to be managed in the public interest. We get a significant amount of revenue from tourism. Why do tourists come here? Because of access to public land. Once we take those and we sell them, they're gone forever. We need to protect access to those public lands. I think it's a very specious argument to say it's the only way we can fund K-12 education. There are plenty of other ways. These are natural resources. We have vital watersheds, and as the population of this state continues to grow, along with global climate change, water is going to become an increasing issue. So we have water. We have wildlife protection and management. We also need to look back at the cost of managing land. The lands are in federal control for a variety of reasons. To spend limited tax dollars and limited resources on pushing a bill that even the state's own lawyers have said is unconstitutional, to me, that's bad legislative decision-making.